Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love to us and for blessing us. And thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. Thank you for what you've put on Alvin's heart. And I pray you would bless him as he shares, give him clarity, him to express what you have shown to him. And just bless us all as we listen today. And may you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel. Probably chapter 1 is a good place to start this morning. It'd be helpful if you could, or would help me out if you would. Turn there. We're considering the path of the ark. Oh, that's fine. Thank you. That might be helpful. I expect you have plans after this morning, but God also has plans for us, and sometimes we look at our lives and we look at our lives and we just wish that we had known what we know today back then. Fear not, that's not usually how it works. Often it's good to learn as much as we possibly can right now. And what I say this morning, you might totally forget. I said fear not, because God is at work. God is, no matter what's going on in the world, in what country, or in what government, in what life, every single one of ours, God is specifically at work and wants to bring revelation to your heart, and sometimes it just doesn't come when we wish it would. Or we think if only it would have come then, we'd look so much different now. But God is on a journey, and if I say the word follow the path, what would you add to that? What would you add to that as a believer? Follow the path. Follow the path of Jesus. So we're going to follow the path of the ark. And that is what's the deep or the meaning behind that. We'll see that. I'm not going to get there today. I don't think so anyway. I would like to share a song or have a song sung with words up. And it kind of spoke. It's not... I understand we have to be careful with theology in our songs, but it spoke a bit to what I want to say today. That's why I have notes on a piece of paper, just so you know. Technology is wonderful, but it's easier for me to use a piece of paper and a whiteboard. Okay, we're good? Thank you. Do you ever wonder why life is so hard? What if Jesus really is at work, moves his purpose in our whole experience? I don't know if you've ever wondered that. The Christian life is, for those of you who have found Christ, maybe you feel like that sometimes. He says, our lives, we feel, we wonder what's wrong. Is my heart going stone cold? These are real questions that Christians have. If you're not saved this morning and you're wondering why I'm saying these things, because the Christian life is real. I have nothing to offer to you outside of Christ that's not going to be, it's not just a posh place. It's not a red carpet down the aisle. When you come to Christ, all your problems are going to be solved and you're going to have the fancy car. It's not that. Sometimes we feel and we wonder these things, but in the middle of these feelings and these things, we find ourselves experiencing more of the grace of Jesus Christ. But then God whispers or breaks or bursts through. I feel alive, just feel alive, like the song. We could have taken the drums out, and I felt maybe we should have somehow, but I had no time and no ability to do those things. And it's like, but that's how I feel with my relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's pretty awesome. I don't care what I go through. He's whispering and he's bursting through. He's alive. The enemy whispers to us and he has all these reasonings and he has all these ideas and thoughts for all of us. And he'd like us to get off track, but who's Satan? He's a liar. He whispers lies. The song said he whispers lies. That's true. It's in the scriptures. By faith, I'm confident of this very thing, that he will see me through. Philippians 1:6. No matter what my heart may say, I'll follow you today. Okay. I got two statements I want to say, and I'd like, if you don't mind, you can, I wouldn't mind a little response here. Which is true? There is a rest in Christ. Would we agree that's true? There is a rest in Christ. Okay? The answer is yes. Number two, Jesus Christ is actively seeking and moving within you to a place of rest. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ is actively seeking and moving within you to, because he wants to come to rest within your life. Sorry, I don't have that. My sentence isn't even written out correctly. It's bad grammar and everything. Do you believe that to be true? That Jesus wants to actually move in our lives until he rests within us? Yes, we understand we rest in Jesus. All his promises are true and we say amen. But what about Jesus? He actually wants to rest in you. And he wants to settle in your life. In 1 Samuel, the first 7 chapters, then we can go further in, but eventually to 2 Chronicles 5:7. But God has given us a beautiful picture in 1 Samuel, these first chapters, of how the Christian life looks. I don't have everything to do. I don't have the time to go through all the parts that is happening this morning with the ark, where the ark started and where it's going. It was in Exodus 25, the ark was given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. And he said he saw God there, and it was below his feet was like it was shining sapphire. God had given him the blueprint for the ark. It must have been pretty important to reveal himself, that God would reveal himself to Moses to give to the people. And what are the lessons that we actually work? So God is at work. The ark, and we can get there some other time, but the ark is personification of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it's a getting ahead of myself. But it is a personification of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, that whole picture, that whole story, especially the 7 chapters, but but right on into the temple when the ark was finally set to rest within the temple. Now you're starting to see with me the pictures that God has given for us, because we know where the temple is. I hope after we're done this morning, if there's nothing else I've done for you, that you would read 1 Samuel differently than you've ever had. We look at it and we see geography and we see places and we see people, but how does that relate to Jesus Christ? Turn with me to, if you want to, Acts chapter 3, I believe it's 24. It says this. It says this about Samuel. It's very little is said here about Samuel, but don't forget, this was the apostles preaching to a crowd of people who Peter had come into the temple, and he was preaching to them. And in his sermon, early church sermon, he says, starting with Samuel, every prophet spoke about what is happening today. Do you see that? So what was happening that very day, he said, what happened was happening in Samuel. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, hey, that's exactly what was happening in the book of Samuel. We can't see it quite yet, but we want to be able to see. What do you mean that that is happening? How do you know? How do you mean that Jesus, this Jesus who raised this cripple, or this Jesus who you are preaching to the crowds on after Pentecost, the same things were happening in the book of Samuel, and they're fulfilled in this day. There were pictures this morning. We have pictures. I'm going to do a timeline. I'm going to get you to help me do a timeline of those first seven chapters, because I want our eyes to be open to the understanding that God gives us pictures to make things very clear in our lives, because he wants to bless us. He wants you to know, Christian, this morning, not everything in your life goes like you think it's going to go. You think it's just going to be wonderful, and in a sense, you're right. You come to Christ, you look at people. I'm talking from an unsaved person. I looked at the believers around me, and I said, there's some people I want to be part of. I never ever joined that church. But it was a local church here in Ontario that I just said, I want to be a part of those people. And you know what I really want to be a part of was the fellowship of Jesus. They had the peace of Jesus on their heart, on their whole body radiated. Their temple had some glory. Their temple had some glory. So his goal, the goal of Jesus, the goal of the ark, the goal that God had with the ark was that he would come to rest, and he'd come to reign, and he'd have dominion in your life. Child of God, he wants to come and rest within your temple, within your body, within your spirit, because he wants to have dominion. He wants to reign. He wants to rule from there, from the glory that he is. Am I shouting? Can you turn me down? Sorry. Maybe I can speak a little quieter. So today we're going to do an overview of events, people's geography in these chapters. And when I became a Christian and I started reading the Old Testament, I don't know what got me into the Old Testament. I think I was in Psalms and Isaiah especially, but I just could see immediately, the Spirit of God was just opening up these old stories to my heart and showing me that there's spiritual truth here. I wasn't even minding it. He was just opening my eyes to it. Another I had mentioned earlier, I think I walked off the pencil, or the one of these, pencil. I had mentioned earlier that, for a little disclosure here, I was affected by something I listened to, and I didn't get far into it, but it was Witness Lee, and I know I was warned, and I don't know anything about him except that I found some blessing in what he said. And I'm not following his church, I'm not following his ideas, I'm not even following his concept this morning, but I did re-listen to some of these things after I listened to Ed Miller. He had, in the late 90s, there was a Bible study done on the ark. And that Bible study, I threw a kind of long way, and I persisted, and I actually reached out and found his secretary, who gave me hours of things to listen to. And so I'm drawing from not just my own ideas, because I don't always trust myself. But so I just want to give some credit where credit's due. So this morning, we want to build the timeline in 1 Samuel and 6, the first 7 chapters. And I'm just asking if you could help me. What are who are people, places, and things we think about when we think of 1 Samuel? And I'm saying follow. We might even talk a bit about Derek later if I have time, but I tried to do this in 20 minutes. I'm not going to do it. I know that. But if you help me quickly, we'll get going. What's the first person you see in the 1 Samuel chapter 1? Elkanah. You want to say anything about Elkanah? You can share a few thoughts about these two, because they are significant, actually. And sometimes if we speak our thoughts, you know what happens? It goes into our mind. We remember it. And all of a sudden, down the road, isn't that why we read the scriptures? Isn't that why we memorize the scriptures, so that the Holy Spirit brings to our mind things that are needful? He could do it without that, and he does sometimes. But I think we have a response. We have a good opportunity, let's just say. What else? Who else? Samuel's there somewhere too, right? I'm going to put him down a little further. Okay. Who else? How many? Eli. We had Eli. Let me see. Okay. So we had Eli. I'm just going to say Eli, and it's the old priesthood. Yep. And he had sons. He had fruit, right? Eli had fruit. Hannah. Elkanah had a wife named Hannah. Very good. Anything you want to say about that? What else? What else about Hannah? What was stirring her up? What got her going? She had no okay. So she was barren, just for easy. Your words are just as good as mine. I'm just trying to make it. I need a lot of space here. I'm going to need 3 boards. What else got her going? You know, we know the story fairly well. I think we do. How many wives did Elkanah have? He had 2. Would that be a problem with you guys? Like, right? What was her name? I don't know if I spelled it right. Peninnah, I think, right? 2 wives. That was also, she was called the adversary to Hannah. What else? Who else? What else about this? This 7. I'll try. Okay, I'll make you a deal. If you're gonna talk, tell me anything about those 7 chapters, and I'll try to put it in the timeline wherever I think it goes. Because some things do get convoluted. Samuel. Okay, she had a son named Samuel. She had fruit. She desired fruit. She desired from God fruit. And what did she do with the fruit? She gave it back. She desired fruit from God, for God. Now, wow. How about us, right? Anything else? From God to God. I couldn't find a decent timeline, so that's why one reason we're making it. I couldn't find a... my friend didn't give me a timeline, so I have to build my own. And I've spent hours and hours over the last year on this. What else is there in those 6-7 chapters? I could almost just turn to, I'm in Acts here. I could almost turn page to page and you'd find something new. We have Elkanah, we have Hannah, we have Samuel, we have the old priesthood. These are really significant, actually. I think everything's significant in God's word, isn't it? Okay, Samuel he had a call. Thank you. What else? There were Philistines. Somewhere along the line, there were Philistines. So, as the story goes, Elkanah, for whatever reason, there was a man named Elkanah who had two wives. Like, you know, nothing's insignificant in the kingdom. And then all of a sudden we had Samuel who had a call from God. What's interesting about this call? Anything interesting about this call? Yes. Yes. Thank you. What else? There's more. But that's how I want you to read the scriptures. Just start making lists and notes of what is all going on here. There's something else really significant. Maybe we can come back to that. Oh boy, that's not good. That was not good. Can you imagine? What's going on? What is God saying? Jesus wants to move in our lives, but has the ark moved yet at all? This is called a Christian life. Has the ark at all moved? It hasn't moved, has it? But God has started to speak, has he? God has started to speak. Now that's good news. See, what we really need in our lives is revelation from God. I don't know about you, but you can ask God. He says we can come boldly to the throne of grace in our time of need, and we have need, don't we? If you're like me, it's like, man, I have need. And God says, how about it? Here's the new covenant. You can come anytime you want. You can come through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can come into the throne room. You can come and bring anything. And he says, in fact, I want you to come and come boldly. Just ask anything as boldly as you can think it. See, that's sometimes our problems we don't get because we don't ask, right? What else? We got the Philistines. What? So, the Philistines, they captured the ark. So at this point, yes, when the Philistines come on the scene, do you remember why they captured the ark? How did they go into the tabernacle at Shiloh and go in there and just snafu the ark away and where they went? Do you remember? Try that again. In the battle. Thank you. Okay, so this was the second time, I believe, in that first battle. There's a multiple battles here. But the first battle, Israel lost. So the second time they said, well, let's take the ark with us. Surely God's presence is in the ark. We remember the stories from way back, it was probably about great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa. I don't know how many greats, but it's a lot. It's hundreds of years of great. They took the ark and they went up to the Red Sea and the Red Sea parted. And they crossed. No, not the Red Sea. Help me out. The Jordan River. They got to the Jordan River. God said, go in and possess the land. So they get to the Jordan River and the ark's in front and it parts. And who's following who? The people. We are following Jesus, right? And we have Jordan Rivers in our life, and he starts because he wants to take us into an abundant place. But along the way, this is the Christian life, my friends. We just want the easy life. Oh, I just want an easier Christian life. Do I really seriously have to go through this experience? The answer is what? What's the answer, everybody? Yes. The answer is yes, we need the experiences because Jesus loves us. This I know the children could tell you. The Bible tells you so, right? What else? There's more. The Philistines. That's the one time. There was another time the Philistines in about chapter 7, but in between there's a whole bunch of things yet. Let's talk about a few more things. What happened in chapter 7, Derek? He's coming to it. He's going to get that one. He got the Philistines. What else? Say that again. Yep. So Eli's sons died. And when the ark was captured, I'm going to have to get you to speak louder next time. And then Eli passed away too. So what was happening here? This was called what? Who are these people? This was the priesthood. This was the old priesthood, and they died. See, the old, we think sometimes that when God starts speaking our lives as Christians, that we just have to, hey, it's great. God's speaking. Let's go out to battle with the Philistines. They got up, it says, and they went out to battle with the Philistines. And what happened? What happened in your life? Did you ever have one of those experiences? I've had many of those where it's like, yes, the Lord's speaking in my life. I've just heard from God, so my life's going to change drastically. The Philistines in my life, they're just gone. I mean, I'm going to even go after them, and what do you find? What happened? But they had defeat. See, the old priesthood, God has ordained it so that the old priesthood, the old us, the old man has to go. And how does he do that? Oh, how does he do that? He knows really well. Jesus is really good at finding the spots in our life that are really needful to touch, and he knows how to touch them. What else happened in the battle? So they captured the ark. What happened after they captured the ark? Oh, isn't that interesting? So the Philistines were like, they went from fear to elation, and they took the ark, and they placed it, I believe, with their god Dagon, right? Was it with it or in front of it? And what do you think that represents? What do you think the Philistine in us? See, there's a Philistine in us. Let's get personal. We can blame them. We can say, oh, it's all out there. It's all those people driving down the road just now, that white car that just went down. It's all them. No, it's a Philistine in us. What do you think was happening? We got a little Jesus, we think, and we think we can put Jesus with all the other idols of our life, right? And maybe it's a really important relationship. Maybe it's the cars in your life. Maybe it's the, you can name anything. Maybe it's your wardrobe. Maybe it's your personality. The Philistine in you wants to put Jesus beside there. Do you think Jesus is ever going to be happy? Was the ark happy in the house of Dagon? No, the ark was not happy. What else happened along this line? So the Dagon fell before him, and his head and arms fell off, and just showing how Jesus is at work in our lives to dismember our idols, to break our idols. But there were more things that happened. Do you remember places like, if I can get them in order here, probably can't. What happened at Ashdod? Okay, Gath, that was Gath, I believe, the first time, right? Ashdod was where Dagon is, I think. My bad, so thank you, yes. So they got tumors. Some say tumors, some say other things. So They took him to Gath. They took him to a different place. Our flesh wants to do that. Our natural man wants to do that too, right? Try all kinds of things. Come on, Jesus. You have to be okay with this in my life. What's so bad with having my idol? What's wrong with having my little pet in my life? And you know what? Sometimes we say to ourselves, we say, nah, we don't have it. I have that Mercedes, I have my Rolls Royce parked in my garage, it means nothing to me. Well, it might not, but it might. And sometimes we lie to ourselves, right? Sometimes, and then God uses another thing in our life to bring us, to bring to you because he wants to move in our lives. Okay, Gath, what about Ekron? They started moving the ark, right? Then all of a sudden they get fearful, and then they're like, oh boy, this is bad. This is we have to get rid of the ark. But you know, they were wondering. Do you ever wonder, is this God or is this my flesh? Or is it am I just gonna make a big mistake here by letting the ark go? Okay, well, let's do a test, right? That's the next thing that happened there was, let's do a test. They said, okay, we're gonna put the ark on a cart, a wooden cart, and we're going to tie some cows on the front, and we're going to send that ark to Beth Shemesh. Was it Beth Shemesh? What was the problem with the cows? In reality, like, was this a good test or not? I think it was a pretty good test, right? The cows had calves. And the cows weren't trained to do this, and so it would be a miracle in their minds. It was going to be a miracle. But if the cows don't go straight down the road to Beth Shemesh, then we'll know that, hey, it didn't really matter. That idol in our heart wasn't really a big thing. It just all happened to us by chance. But we know that the story goes that it ended up in Beth Shemesh. In Beth Shemesh, there were some very interesting things happened as well. What happened? What were they doing in Beth Shemesh? 6:14. Is that a good time or not? Farmers, is that a good time? Harvesting wheat, is that just a good time? That's a good time, right? That's a great time. They were working hard. They were sweating, and man, they're just getting their food in, and here comes the ark. So what did they do? It's time of harvest, time of joy, it's time of, you name it. What did they do with the cart and the oxen? They chopped up the cart, built a fire, and sacrificed the animals, didn't they? They had a sacrifice. And then the next thing that happened used to really puzzle me. Now, why, if this is so awesome and God is so at work, would then he have... what happened next? What was the disaster and the destruction? Did you look? What is the destruction that happened after the fact? After they had the sacrifice, you'd think God would be pleased and all should be good and comfy. It says some people looked inside the ark. Then what happened? Some men of Beth Shemesh looked inside the ark. And some translations say that 50,070 people died. Others say 70 people died. 70 is enough to get the principle, isn't it? Death. Sometimes we have choices in our lives. We have choices to walk in life or in death. Okay. And then from there, they went where? From Beth Shemesh, do you know where they went? I don't know if I'm okay. Kirjath, they moved, they sent the ark, they said, hey, this is bad, let's send the ark down to Kirjath-Jearim. So my timeline is pretty messed up. I couldn't even follow it if I had to. I can on my paper, though. Then in chapter 7:3, who appeared on the scene again? The ark stayed in Kirjath. Does anybody know how long the ark stayed here? 20 years, the ark was here. And then at Kirjath-Jearim, with all that was going on, who appeared? Samuel appears. So Samuel, the little boy who 20 some years before had heard from God that Eli was going to be, there's going to be destruction of his household, his whole thing's going to go. But we don't see one thing. We don't see revolution. He can't even spell it. My brain's not working. There was no revolution in his life. Rather, he walked in the revelation of God, didn't he? For 20 some years, we don't see much of Samuel. But now he shows up and he tells them to do a few things. He says this word. He says this word. If. You want to move on in your walk with Jesus, sometimes we have to do this. He says, if you will return, if you will get rid of, and if you will turn to the Lord and obey him. And then we have battle number 3. And you'll notice that from battle number one to battle number 3, there was a great big difference. Battle number 1, they heard the word, the revelation. God was speaking again after so long a time. And they're excited. Let's go defeat the Philistines in our life. Let's go get the natural part of our life. Let's go. You know, there were 5 cities too. I found that interesting. And I thought, I'm not sure yet. Maybe it means our 5 senses. Maybe it simply just means a natural man. And then this battle to this battle, they were imploring God. They were lamenting after the Lord. And Samuel comes and says, here's the things to do. And while this was all going on, the Philistines were coming. Completely different, right? Completely different. We maybe get there some other time. Okay. I just want to show one more thing. Well, maybe we can do this this way. Maybe not. What we believe is really important. Color. I think I'm stealing one. I can't find it. Oh, yeah, here it is. We have events in our life. How much there? We have events in our life. What we believe about this event. Yesterday, for an example, we had rain. That's an event, right? We had an event. Earlier in the year, today we're thinking, does it have to keep raining, right? It's like, we had so much rain so far. And then we have a reaction. When it was dry, the farmer said, if it only would rain, it would be just wonderful, and maybe even prayed for rain. We just need rain. So we believe, but that was the belief. We need rain. But that's the farmer. But on the very same day you have, let's say this, a golfer, or you have a baseball game. I remember those. As a kid, we'd have baseball on a Friday night with the kind of our cousins would get together. And how many times in the summer did it look like rain? But thank God we had some good uncles who would don't worry about the rain. We're going anyway. If it rains, we'll quit. And if it doesn't, we get to play, right? But there's a completely different desire on these same event, completely different belief system. So there's lots of other events in our life. Maybe you have a friend. Maybe you have a critical friend. And your reaction to that critical friend is that They don't love me. Or maybe you feel anger, or you feel you withdraw from them, or you're shut down. What you believe here is so important as to how you react to that critical friend. Can critical friends be good friends? Sometimes our best friends are our best, what's the word I'm looking for? Critics. That's exactly the word I wanted. Our best critics are the ones who love us the most. So if I believe that they don't love me, I'm going to react like this. But if I believe that they love me, what am I going to do? I'm going to change, right? I'm going to at least listen, ponder, and probably my life is going to be different. And here's something that is really three words. Truth transforms. We believe that, right? You believe that? You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, he's not kidding. That is really, really big. Truth trusted. See, part of our problem in life as new believers, as believers, is we know the we know that truth transforms, but we're not trusting it. We're not trusting, maybe because we don't know it, but we're not trusting it. Okay, I'm going to wind down here. This is, as you see the picture, and my story board here is very, very, very incomplete, okay? So if all you will do is go read 1 Samuel 1 through 7, and then go looking for Obed-Edom, so it's somewhere in the Bible, it must be important, and then 2 Chronicles 5, 7, that's easy, 2:5-7, 2 Chronicles 5:7. Go read that. That's when, and you'll see a marvelous thing that happened as the ark entered into the heart of the temple. What the glory that happened as it hit the center. It wasn't along the way so much. See, our Christian life sometimes just feels like it's just pretty drab and it's pretty dry and it's pretty this and it's pretty that, and there's some joy harvest along the way and there's some great things happen and we're all excited, and but not always. But Jesus has a reason. He has plans for us, like you have plans for this afternoon. He has good plans, and they're perfect plans. They're not like ours that get thwarted. None of God's plans ever get thwarted. Okay, a few things. I just want to read you a few truths in closing. That's it. I'm going to quit there. A few truths in closing. I said truth. If the truth sets us free, here are some truths. Who am I? Who am I? I am God's child. And I got this. I heard this first, maybe from Neil Anderson, or list a book called Victory Over the Darkness. You want a good book? There's one. Who am I? I am accepted. I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I have been justified. I am united with the Lord, and I am one spirit with Him. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. Trust it, brothers and sisters. Doesn't matter when you came to Christ. It doesn't matter at what point you are in your Christian life. Believe these things. I am a saint. I have been adopted as God's child. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. Wow. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. Man, that thing bugged me for years. There are some things about that bugged me, but the truth transformed because I believed it. I am complete in Christ. I am secure. I am free forever from condemnation. I am assured that all things work together for good. I am free from any condemning charges against me. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am confident that the good work that God has begun in me will be perfected
I am a citizen of heaven. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I can find grace and mercy in time of need. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. I am significant. I am the salt and light of the earth. I am a branch of the true vine, a channel of his life. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I am a personal witness of Christ. I am God's temple. I am a minister of reconciliation for God. I am God's co-worker. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. I am God's workmanship. I may approach God with freedom and confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You are this morning, a child of God, you are a saint who sometimes sins. One declared righteous by God. You get your identity from what God has done for you. You get your identity from what God says about you. Your belief about yourself determines your behavior. Did you know that? Your belief about yourself determines how you behave. What you believe, we can see totally different, and there's many, many. The same reality, but what you believe will determine your identity and who you are. May God help us. May he bring revelation. That's my desire for us. And fight on. Walk on. We need not fear. God has a purpose, and he knows how to accomplish his purposes. We're pretty stubborn sometimes. I'm pretty stubborn sometimes. But God's more than persistent, and he works perfectly. God bless you to that end. Or do you want to do this? Thank you.